Right now, the fishery management plan, in addition to season and bag limits for recreational fisheries, allows us to set a minimum size. That has made it difficult to enact a slot limit because a slot limit includes both a minimum and a maximum size. One of the groups, the ASMFC at the state level, had the ability to implement the concept of a slot limit, but at the federal level, for federal waters beyond 3 miles, again, the federal plan only specified a minimum size. So we put in place for black sea bass and summer flounder the ability to specify a maximum size in both of these fisheries. Obviously, for summer flounder, it would be more important. We've talked a lot about the biology, the large fish being the breeding females. I don't think there's as much public interest in black sea bass with a slot limit or a maximum size. However, due to their biology, whereby as fish get larger, the females turn into males, and then when the large males are removed from the fishery, it's believed that that actually serves as a trigger to get females to flip to males. Somewhere down the road, we may decide, hey, this actually makes sense in this fishery as well for that biological reason. So where it would potentially be implemented is because we base a lot of our management decisions based on poundage. If you set a maximum size limit and a minimum, what we call a slot, that would serve the purpose of keeping those large fish in the water. In the case of summer flounder, the largest, most prolifically breeding females, as well as potentially minimizing the pounds of fish that people take home, but still allowing them to take a fish home. I think a lot of anglers would be very happy taking home a 17.5-inch fish versus a 19-inch fish. However, from a management level, that 19-inch fish is going to have a bigger impact packed in pounds and result in higher landings on paper overall, even though that same angler will remember taking home one fish.
That makes sense, yeah.
By taking, what my information has been that the male fish is dying off at 18 inches, and everything over 18 inches is a female. And that's why we're seeing the overall reduction over since the regulations went in back in the 80s of a 13-inch fish and 10 fish, the population kept growing until it got to 17.5. Now we're seeing it flatten out or go down with the using their numbers.
You know, an 18-inch fish, generally we say, at least my understanding, you've got about 2.5 pounds of flounder there. And if you have a 16-inch fish, like Delaware Bay, 16.5, we're talking 1.5 pounds. And as far as, you know, my intimate familiarity with the flounder that come off the bay behind Beach Thoroughfare in southern, you know, Absecon Island, the people that go out generally are family-oriented. Flounder are dinner fish. And it is the starter fish for families and attaching young anglers to a really, really fabulous lifetime sport. So they can go out and get, like Delaware Bay, at 365 days a year, 2 1.5-pound flounder, and they'll stop. They'll come off the bay. They don't sit out there for 8 hours trying to catch an 18-inch, you know, in quotes, keeper, throwing back as many as about 77 from our account. Mortality fish, we call them now, because we know that they float to the bottom. And that poundage, from what I understand, really never gets factored in. Jeff Bruce and Joe Cimino from New Jersey Council talked about at a meeting a couple weeks ago in Manahawkin that the American Littoral Society estimates during July in 75-degree water that the mortality fish rate, because the fish are smaller, they're the spawn that's coming off the continental shelf, mortality rate is about 60%. So I look at, from a conservation standpoint, the slot fish, allowing us to take 16, 16 and a half, 15 to 18, as Bill has proposed, and maybe one over 18, not only would reduce the recreational poundage that we take, it would increase the economy in the fishing and the interest in angling, because right now it's dying off because people can't take keepers home. And it would be good all the way around. So am I totally off base, or am I on the right track, Adam?
Nope. Again, as per what the goals are, I think you're 100% accurate in that there's an opportunity here, both from a conservation based on what we know about the biology of the stock, as well as an angler satisfaction reason. And that's the reason we've been hearing the interest in this for a long time. And that's why we continue to pursue ways to find a way to make it happen. Pretty much every year for the last two or three years, we've gone through a process where the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has initiated some type of management action in the fall. And sometime during the winter months, we will go through and do public hearings about the process for setting regulations the following year. In many cases, this document has come to the public with sets of example measures in them as what the process may bear out, but in many cases, those sample measures have wound up ultimately changing by the time they were put in place. This has gone ahead and resulted in essentially a lot of duplicative effort in terms of setting regulations, considering them, going back and potentially changing them, a lot of confusion with the recreational sector, people thinking that one season is going to be what they have, making decisions based on that, only for it to change a month or two later. So what the commission has done is they enacted an addendum which seeks to streamline the process overall. Again, because of the assessment for summer flounder this year, we're not going to realize that streamlined gain from a timing perspective because we need to wait for this peer review and this revised folder to come out. But what the process will look like is instead of the commission coming around and doing these public hearings every year, the states will take on the task of working with the public. I think in New Jersey you would see it in some combination with our Marine Fisheries Council meetings that take place every other month to get input from the states about what they want the regulations to look like based on what allowable harvest is going to be. And then the board will take all of that information back, work with it from a technical perspective, and then work to craft measures that take into account the various needs of all the individual states.
Adam, I got a question. We go through this every year, and we look at the regulations for the upcoming year. Why aren't we looking at a longer range, like a 3 to 5 year picture? Pick a set of regulation and then watch it for 3 to 5 years and see what's going on with the population.
So the primary reason for that is because when the federal fishery management plan, which is joint with the states, was put in place, it said specifically, and the words are very literal, that you shall set a recreational harvest landings level for every year and evaluate the size, season, and bag limit to make sure the catch is constrained to that level. That's what goes in, that's what is in the federal fishery management plan. In recent years, I think there's been a great understanding. You have to keep in mind that this whole concept of recreational management with size, season, and bag limit, we've only been doing this a little over a decade. It seems like forever to us from management and industry and the angling public because it's been so acutely painful. But we've only been doing this for a little over a decade.
Well,
there have been a lot of lessons that have been learned. I think we understand now that this doesn't work from a management perspective. It certainly doesn't work for the angling community. So there are efforts underway, Bill. You're entirely right. The answer why is because that was the process that was put in place when the fishery management plan was initiated. But people understand that it's not working. There are a lot of efforts underway to change that and move towards more stability in the recreational fishery. And I hope to see the fruits of those efforts in the next 3 to 4 years.
Aren't I correct that the flounder regulations with size limit and bag limits went in place in like 1983 or 84?
All you had at that time was a minimum size limit. This concept of needing to set size, season, and bag limits every year, we've only been doing that since the mid-2000s.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting, Adam, is according to Bill's statistics and those of the American Littoral Society, which was originally created by NOAA, I understand, so it is part of this whole thing. According to their records, from the time all the way up until the time we hit about 17 inches in our regs, the stock was growing. So actually what you just said is in the past 10 years when we really got involved in mucking with the whole thing, and I don't use expletives, so that was an M, mucking. I catch myself once in a while. you know, we have managed to be on a path to annihilate the fishery. Now, this is a simplistic, at one time, real blonde roots, left-hander type assessment, but wouldn't it be really something if we went back to the original regs 13 inches, rewind, and duplicate what we were doing that built the fishery? Build. Now we're on a path where we're actually, you know, wiping it out. We're targeting female breeders, and we have a mortality rate that's bound to clean out everything else on the bay.
As long as managers are constrained by this concept of that you have to stay within an RHL, a recreational harvest limit, and if the catch exceeds that level, then you have to take some punitive measure against them, we're never going to be able to just do what you suggested, even though it may be the best biological way to proceed for the health of the resource. This is why there needs to be changes. There remains ongoing efforts.
Yeah, the Modern Fish Act.
The Recreational Fishing Alliance at the Magnuson level, and making changes to the FMPs here in the service and at the state level. The two have to work hand in hand, Robin.
Okay. Bill's got a point he wants to make here.
Adam, first of all, Adam, I appreciate your efforts. I've been involved in
it.
And it's been, you got to be frustrated sitting in through some of those meetings. One final question I have.
Including radio shows every now and again.
Delaware has 365-day fluke season. New Jersey gets 110. The South Jersey population of flounder are almost identical to what's in Delaware. And Delaware, from what I've been told by people I talk to down there, had an outstanding year on flounder. And they can also come all the way over to the Jersey side when Jersey's closed season. How can we rectify that?
Well, they cannot come over to New Jersey side and fish in New Jersey waters legally when New Jersey is closed, Bill. That would be illegal. Our Marine Enforcement Division, if they know about that, they have their enforcement hotlines. That would be a blatant violation and would certainly be pursued. Mm-hmm. When New Jersey waters are closed, New Jersey waters are closed, period. Okay. Now, if it's a time where enforcement isn't active on the water and those people can make it back to Delaware waters with those fish where they become legal, so be it, but it remains illegal activity. This concept of shared waters fairness, Bill, is not a New Jersey-Delaware issue. New York has certainly raised that issue to the highest levels in recent years. further north, they have similar levels of concerns. I don't have a good answer for you, Bill, other than to say that there remains a commitment amongst the managers to try to put something in place to satisfy as many people as possible. But unfortunately, that's going to leave a portion of people dissatisfied. I don't have a better answer for you than that, other than to offer you, as a representative of New Jersey's angling community, to work to address those issues, to make the regulations as equitable and fair for anglers on both ends of the state so that they can compete with their neighbors.
Hey, well, over the years as a representative on the representative on the ASMFC, I brought that up several times. And, of course, New York screams at us. And, you know, you're getting, you know, they want a piece of New Jersey allocation. And, you know, the Delaware doesn't want Jersey to have any more relief. So we're fighting an uphill battle, aren't we?
And I would just add, Adam, that you speak so elegantly when we speak of leaving a portion of the population dissatisfied. I'd like to elevate that to out of business. And New York is very vocal about the loss of charter trips and things like that. And that's what's certainly happening in New Jersey. We're simply losing, stakeholders in the second largest industry in the state. So it's way more serious than being dissatisfied. It's a matter of survival.
You're absolutely right, Robin, and that can't be underscored enough. A lot of people have suggested that splitting New Jersey is the way to go. But is that really the way to go? It's bad enough that we fight with New York. It's bad enough that we fight with Delaware. Do we really want Atlantic and Cape May counties fighting with Ocean and Monmouth counties as well? Is that really where we want to be? I think it's a question that's certainly been talked about a lot. I don't know if we need another division point as a way to address this issue.
Interesting. Okay.
Adam, how confident are you in the collection measures? I've heard you talk at these federal meetings about the Bigelow and the trawls and the faultiness of that, and you've been very adamant about the collection measures. And now, you know, we have MRIC, which you and I both know is really faulty. So how in the world can these management measures hold when they're being based on real sketchy, I think, collection data? Is it getting better? What's happening in that department?
Better's a hard word, Robin, because without seeing every fish that's caught, I don't know. Again, keep in mind that the recreational estimation program was never intended to measure the overall harvest of fish. Yeah. It was intended to provide trends in the fishery. And at the end of the day, I don't really think the recreational angling public is terribly concerned with the number of pounds of fish were allowed in a given year. The angling public just wants to know when they can go fishing and what they can bring home.
Yes.
So whatever we can do to ultimately provide stability in that perspective, I think you as an industry person would certainly recognize that that's what you need to know to make your business go.
Yep. This is Shep Talking Fishing on air. Be back here next Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m. We're on News Talk 1400, WOND. And rest in peace, Bob Burns. We're a fine man. We're going to miss him.